Podcasting from Albuquerque, New Mexico, the land of enchantment, this is the weekly podcast called The Rendezvous. Your hosts are Lance and Kenny, a nerdy gay couple exploring current events, social justice, atheism, mental and physical health, humanism, politics, gaming, spirituality, religion, and a whole lot of other nerdy stuff. Both Lance and Kenny are graduates from the University of Massachusetts with bachelor's degrees, both with honors. Lance has an MS in health education and is currently working on a master's in marriage and family therapy, while Kenny completed courses towards a master's of social work, but later switched gears and is now working on a master's degree in software engineering. Now, let's get this show brewing. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Rendezvous podcast. This is episode 10, and we are calling this one Pride. I'm your co-host, Kenny.
I'm Lance, your host. And today, as you may have guessed, we're talking about LGBT Pride Month.
Woo!
Even though that's in June, you'll start seeing celebrations starting around now in May. We're recording on Sunday, the 19th of May. And we're already starting to see things coming up, so we thought it'd be good to get a jump start on what Pride is. And then our next episode, we're actually going to drop some knowledge on y'all.
Drop it like it's hot.
About sexuality and gender, which is originally the podcast that was going to be released the last time, but
life happened, so
we had an incident where we live, and then we got sick, so we're picking it up here. I'm actually kind of excited. This is something that needs to be discussed widely. Even if you're not LGBT, it helps to understand what's going on. But a lot of LGBT people don't actually know the origins of Pride anyway. So
I'm pretty guilty of that myself. I don't know a lot. I think I know bits and pieces and maybe like some of the more important.
Did you ever get to see the Stonewall Inn?
No, I never saw that.
I am a terrible gay person.
Mm-hmm.
I should have brought you to see Stone. We've been to New York City a few times.
Right.
Whoops. My bad.
Terrible gays.
Yeah, seriously. So, Pride Month is always in June, and the whole reason why this actually started was what was called the Stonewall Rebellion in New York City occurred June 28th in 1969. And the point is to commemorate the anniversary of this because this is what kicked off the LGBT rights struggle. It is sort of our version of the civil rights movement. Despite what the portrayals often are in the media, it was mostly women or trans women of color and drag queens of color that really spearheaded this. And what was going on was that there were police raids on bars that catered to the LGBT population. However, that night at the Stonewall Inn, the patrons decided, fuck this, and they fought back. You'll see different accounts of what actually went on, but there was a pretty violent response and by the police, the New York City police. Because of that response, the discussion around LGBT rights and LGBT activism actually became a big, big thing. And some of the resources that I'm going to put up for you guys, one comes from GLAAD, which is an organization for LGBT people, and they have a great kit for journalists, and it gives a good explanation of like the history, a little bit of the history of Pride, what Pride is today, and then talks about like the fact that the many faces of Pride aren't white.
I think, speaking of, wasn't there a movie that came out that
Stonewall,
right? And they were all white people for the most part.
People. Yeah, yeah. They completely whitewashed the Stonewall riot.
That was maybe last year, 2 years ago, maybe
somewhere around there.
One or 2 years ago, maybe more. I don't know.
I'll
but I remember that story.
Yeah, there was a lot of people wouldn't go see it. We didn't see it
no.
because it completely whitewashed history, which unfortunately is not uncommon. Especially in the LGBT movement, we have a long ways to go to work on diversity and facing our own racist issues as a community. As I was saying, 1969, the police raided this bar, and the patrons fought back. This started this big uprising against police harassment and persecution, which LGBT people were commonly facing, because at the time it was just not an accepted thing. The APA, which is another link I'll put up, at the annual convention in Chicago in 1956, there was a groundbreaking research presentation by Dr. Evelyn Hooker named Normal Homosexuals, which really sought to debunk the myth then that gay people were inherently less mentally healthy. It eventually led into the APA striking homosexuality as a mental disorder.
Do you remember what year that was?
I don't, but I'm looking to see if it's in this right now.
Let's ask Dr. Google. Hey, Google, what year did the APA remove homosexuality from the APA?
1973. According to Wikipedia, due to lack of supporting data, as well as exponentially increasing pressure from the advocates of homosexuality, the board of directors for the American Psychiatric Association voted to remove homosexuality as a mental disorder from the DSM in 1973.
And this presentation was in 1956. That's a disturbing length of time where they're like, hey, gay people are normal, but we're not going to recognize that fact.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long stretch of time. But the APA actually has, like, its whole thing on what they do for Pride Month. I'll put this page up, too. They're very, very involved, and they have a good amount of money to do a lot of work for people, and they fought the repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act because it expanded healthcare to many LGBT people and their families. Like, they've worked really hard on data collection on LGBT people. They're actually very involved, especially right now, in this whole religious liberty legislation movement, which we talked about, I think, one of our very first episodes.
For those who are not in the know, the APA is the American Psychological Association, and they do a book called the American Psychological Association something
Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Yeah, so it's all they're pretty much, like, I'd say, the governing body for mental health disorders.
Yep.
And what's recognized here in the States.
Yep. They're how, when I go start working or start my internship this fall, their guidance is how I diagnose people, and then they give you ways to look at the various things too. Because not everybody, depression's a great example. Not everybody experiences depression, but in order to be diagnosed with major depressive disorder, you have to have so many different things, and then
you have to meet certain criteria,
right,
that's laid out by the American Psychological Association.
And then you have to present that to an insurance company and be able to back it up with facts from the person's life and their history. And then the insurance company will agree to treat for depression or anxiety or whatever it is. So they're, without them having removed homosexuality as a mental health disorder, we'd all still be getting locked up in mental hospitals for being gay. So we've come a long way since then. Celebrations now, well, you'll see them start now. They'll go all the way, often even into fall. I know there are a few around here that go, like, into August and September. You'll see pride parades, you'll see picnics, parties, workshops, concerts, all sorts of events, and it creates a lot of tourism for different cities, different areas. And Pride isn't just an American thing. There's Pride events all over the world at various times.
Ours, by the way, here in Albuquerque, starts in 19 days.
Ours is huge and very family-oriented.
I don't know if I'd say huge. I mean,
for this state,
right.
It's the big deal, and a lot of people come out. They go to the fairgrounds and they do booths, and it's all sorts of, like, family-oriented things. So you can go with friends, you can bring your kids. It's really, really, it's a cool environment. It's hot. It's not literally cool. It's hotter than Hades, which is, I think, why we've probably never gone, because it is so hot during Pride. If the sun's out, you're baking. But there's all sorts of things that go on that you can get involved in your state. The federal government under our former president actually did the LGBT Pride Month Champions of Change video challenge. They had resources up. They had all sorts of really cool things that I suspect our current administration will not do.
I'm sure.
Because they're slowly chipping away at healthcare for us.
They've removed LGBT community, any references from a lot of their websites.
Yeah. The whitehouse.gov actually, Inauguration Day removed any...
Was it Inauguration Day?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Inauguration Day.
Shortly after, at least.
They removed any reference to LGBT people. So, yeah. I'm not holding high hopes that the government is very involved this year. One of the things, and the whole reason why I wanted to do this, is because one of my biggest complaints when Pride Month rolls around, and this happens with everything, is why is there a gay Pride Month, but why isn't there a straight Pride Month?
Why isn't there a White History Month when we've got a Black History Month?
Yeah. And one of the easiest arguments to come up with is, you're kind of in the majority. But there are missing details to this, and Kenny and I have been together for 20 years, and we've been out for an eternity, so we've experienced why Pride Month still needs to be a thing. And never has a person lost their job for being white or straight in North America, or been denied an apartment for being white and straight, or been leered at or attacked by strangers simply for holding hands with their significant others. There's a level of social and systemic privilege not afforded to many members of the LGBT community in North America, and certainly in countries around the world. This is one of the main reasons. Our LGBT kids still aren't always safe in school. They face bullying. They face harassment from teachers sometimes. There are teachers that are openly supportive. We, in I think a majority of states, can actually lose our jobs. Our jobs are not protected because we're gay.
We're about to pass an Equality Act here in New Mexico, I think.
And the country is on the road to passing the Equality Act, which started in the House of Representatives. It passed. It is probably not going to make it through Senate.
Because of the old rich white straight men.
You got it. Our contingent, our congresswomen and congressmen and our governor have been fighting very hard for the Equality Act because it is something needed. And that's a great segue into this whole Pride is political. Every year in June since 1970, which is the year after the Stonewall riots, Pride is celebrated. It's in Canada, there's a Pride, Toronto Pride. Which
these are all in the same when is this in the Toronto Pride or in Canada, when is that
same
it's
same
all time. In June, okay,
well, around the same time period, but they're started for a different reason. Police raided 4 bathhouses in 1981 and arrested
he rolled off the bed.
They arrested hundreds of gay men when they raided these bathhouses, so that was the start of Toronto's Pride, which was in February of 1981.
Ah.
I don't know. I think theirs is always in the summer now, too, because February in Toronto.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't be in the streets. So the motive and even the current reason, it's political. I mean, sure, it's all about love, relationship, community, but it's political. There's political history behind it. We're in a reminding period that we're not safe. Even in this administration, it's a political thing when Pride comes around. We have tough LGBT people in general have a tough relationship with the police, with state apparatus. Mm-hmm. LGBT people of color have an even more difficult relationship with the police and other state apparatus. So, yeah, that's a big word.
Apparatus, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And I didn't even read that one. That was just off my head. So this is a time where we do get to celebrate, but we also get to stand up and say, hey, we still aren't protected. We can be denied an apartment or a house because we're gay.
It's also about showing support too. When these activities and these events are happening, it's an opportunity for young people, older people, anyone, straight, not straight, whatever. It's an opportunity for them, for everyone to see the numbers, right, like our numbers, and how represented we can be.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
As of last year, June of last year, only 22 states in the District of Columbia prohibited employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm sure most of those are Midwest and Southeast United States.
Yeah.
Most of the ones who don't
yeah,
are like Midwest and Southeast.
Well, let's see what states do, because that'll be kind of telling. So Out and Equal's fact sheet is from 2017. So
28 states. 28 states out of the
22 states.
51?
50 states.
50 states. You can be fired.
Let's see. Businesses, progress. Oh, wow. That's a huge change. Let's see. There's really...
Oh, this is fascinating. So, progress. I think it's important to not... to point out the progress that we've made over time. And this is an interesting fact that I haven't seen before. So... In 1996, 4% of the Fortune 500 companies, English is not my strong point.
You still haven't woken up from your nap.
No, I'm chugging this coffee, though. So in 1996, only 4% of the Fortune 500 companies included sexual orientation in their non-discrimination policies. And that was 1996, and it was at 4%. Today...
Well, 2017. It might have gone up.
Well... But today in 2017, well, not today in 2017, but in 2017, Jesus, my brain, in 2017, that percentage had gone from 4 in 96 to 92% of Fortune 500 companies welcoming lesbian, gay, bisexual employees with inclusive policies that protect against discrimination based on sexual orientation.
And for transgender employees, in 2002, 3% of Fortune 500 companies had non-discrimination protections that included gender identity. 3% in 2002.
Yeah. And 3% in 2002 and 82%, that went to 82%.
In 2017.
In 2017. So I'd like to point this out too. It's so easy for transgender people to be overlooked within their own community.
Yes.
In the LGBTQ community, transgender people have the greatest challenges they're faced, especially if they are non-white.
Right.
They face the greatest challenges. And it's not only outside of our community. It's also from within our community, yes. And that's pretty sad.
Yep. And it's one of the issues that I can't believe it's 2019 and we're still having to remind our own community that trans people exist. And if it weren't for these trans people, we would not be where we are. They have fought tooth and nail for themselves and for us. Again, a good number of the people involved in the Stonewall riots were trans. Good number were drag queens as well, which are not the same thing.
Being a drag queen is a performance.
Yes. It's an art.
It's an art. That's what it is. That's the difference between drag queens and transgender people.
And there can be trans drag queens. There can be trans drag kings. But it's a separate thing. It's their art. It's...
Even cisgendered drag queens are now becoming...
Really
odd to me. Yeah, okay, but we're getting sidetracked. Next week.
What? We never do. We never get sidetracked. Oh, yeah. So Trudeau, I think it was last year or 2017, had apologized to thousands of LGBTQ men and women that had been fired by government agencies like the military from the 1950s to 1992. Canada is far more progressive than the United States. Canada has been really good about inclusion. These LGBT people were investigated and interrogated, some even forced to undergo polygraph testing, and then they were discharged because
polygraph?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they were discharged because they were considered threats to national security.
But polygraphs aren't even admissible in courts.
It's Canada, though. And even here, like, the FBI uses polygraphs. Like, yeah, just because it's not admissible to court doesn't mean they're not going to use it. So what it was a gay purge, and it was happening, like, less than 30 years ago. So a little scary, but their prime minister apologized, and we love Trudeau here. I actually had a calendar of Trudeau. Moving on, the fights for acceptance and equality and visibility definitely aren't over. I'm looking at an article from the USA Today that I will obviously link, but they talk about living proudly and openly in societies where your well-being, which includes emotional, physical, and they say professional. I've never thought of well-being including professional, but that makes sense. That your life is not constantly at risk. And
but even with the risks, more and more people are just, you know, throwing caution to the wind and just being
we have to
and being like, fuck the risks. This is who I am. This is my life. I'm not hurting anyone.
Right. If we don't normalize ourselves to people, how are they ever going to see us as regular people? And I admit I have moments where I hesitate and things have crossed my mind and I've sort of not been able to go through the whole situation. But, you know, as you grow and you become more... telling you, I've come into my 40s and
I feel like as you get older, you definitely become stronger.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe it's just because you've taken more of a beating over time.
That's encouragement for you young folks. But we do still see threats against our community. We see threats against us. It's why we didn't do our podcast 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago we canceled the podcast because we had a very...
We were assaulted right outside our apartment.
With two men calling us faggots and, well, screaming faggots in our faces and pushing Kenny, and all because Kenny walked by a door.
So we get to go to court now. Woohoo!
Yeah, ton of fun. So we might be making advances just like women are making advances in society, but just like women, we still have a good amount of ways to go. Old attitudes are dying hard. And actually, after we come back from the break in a minute or so, I want to talk about things that we've gone through and things that we've experienced and how we see the difference between even when we first started dating to now and what the differences are in different states, why we chose to move where we chose to move.
We should start replacing the word dating with coupling. When we started coupling, Lance.
That just sounds...
When we were coupling 20 years ago.
Gross. So transgender people especially are always under fire within the regular community. Rather than the unleaded community, the normies, transgender people are constantly under attack. They're one of the most targeted groups in the LGBT community, even though, like I said, LGBT folks in general face persecution. Transgender people are always having to look over their shoulder. And this article ends on a really great note. So when straight people ask why there's a need for gay pride or wonder why there aren't straight pride celebrations, it feels a lot like they're saying contributions by LGBTQ people, a minority group that faces constant adversity, are simply not worthy of recognition. Further, they're denying the importance and significance of identifying as LGBTQ and achieving things, surviving even, when the odds are stacked against you. The resilience of the LGBT community alone is worthy of celebration. We are miracles. And I couldn't agree more.
Mm.
I'm going to have to edit your sniffling.
No, you can't edit my sniffling. Everyone, I apologize for my sniffling. It will be here throughout the podcast because we are not taking the time to edit it out. I am getting over being sick.
Yeah, which
so
was
deal with it.
Why we didn't do the podcast last week, because we were both sick and recovering finally.
Yes.
So
we're on the mend.
We're going to take a quick break. We're at about the 25-minute mark, and we'll come back and round it out with our stories of what we've been through and what we see going well and the issues we see now. We'll be right back.
See ya. Welcome back, everyone, to the Rendezbrew Podcast, episode 10, Pride. And we are on our second half. So here we go.
Part two. Part two. Our stories. And I want to talk a little bit about Trump's, what he's been doing to us. But our stories, first of all, we met in 99. Well,
it was around 1999.
Together in 99. We survived the millennium.
We did not die.
Nobody died.
The beginning of the 2000s, the Y2K scare. We survived.
The world didn't crash. We didn't lose our electricity. We're here today. But we've seen massive changes just in the 20 years we've been together.
Yes, we have.
When we started out, there was absolutely no legal recognition of marriages or anything unless certain cities did registries
or civil unions, which I'm wondering if Vermont, I feel like Vermont might have had civil unions at that time, and I'm pretty sure because when we moved to Vermont, they had civil unions. 2000, so in
July 1st 2000,
2000 Vermont became the first U.S. state after Hawaii
third.
And the third state after Hawaii and California to offer legal status to same-sex couples.
Yep. And they had civil unions that kind of had the same rights and responsibilities as marriage, but for reasons that we know after the fight in the country, they had to call them civil unions.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we moved around the country, we brought legalization of marriage, gay marriage, to various states.
We brought it hand-delivered, wrapped in a big gay bow. but we moved from Vermont to...
Back to Massachusetts.
And Massachusetts was it the first state that had legal marriages? Was that Massachusetts?
Can't remember.
Yeah, so when we moved to Massachusetts definitely, they made it legal there. And then we moved to Pennsylvania, and then Pennsylvania was like, hey, we'll do it there too.
So, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we were actually married in Massachusetts.
The
year after it became legal, we married in Massachusetts.
Yep.
Which was, what year was that? What year was that?
What year did we get married?
I have no idea.
2005.
Okay, 2005. There you go.
So, it was legalized in 2004. 2004. Same-sex marriage becomes legal in the U.S. state of Massachusetts. The state legislature had 180 days to take action according to the Supreme Court, and they didn't do anything, so it became legal.
That was May 17th, 2004.
And then we were married in February of 2005.
Yes.
Woo.
Woo.
So we were bringing marriage equality to different states.
Oh, yeah.
And we came out here, and it became a nationwide thing.
It became nationwide. That's right. When we moved to New Mexico, it became nationwide.
Yep. After we left Pennsylvania and came here, it became a nationwide thing. Thank you, court system.
So we brought it to three states. We brought it to Vermont. No.
Massachusetts.
We brought it to Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and then we decided to give it to the rest of you. So we shared it across the United States.
We drove
States.
Across the country to bring it to everybody.
You're welcome.
But in the time we've been together, we've seen ups and downs in our community, of the community being targeted, of being in periods where nobody really cared. New Mexico is probably one of the most laid-back states where as long as you aren't having public sex, nobody cares.
I think that people, I don't even think they care if you are having public sex. I think here in New Mexico, people are just so, to each their own, as long as they're not imposing anything on me, then, I'm good. That's right. Kind of seems to be like the dominant way of thinking here.
Yep. And I was in high school in the 90s, graduated high school in 96, and I tried to start a GSA, or a Gay Straight Alliance, in my school, and it was a little harder than expected. I had to get some teachers to get behind us. We did. I graduated. It sort of fizzled out, and now it's a big thing in the high school again. They restarted, and our nephew, my brother's son, grew up very very understanding of our relationship. Mm-hmm. As he got older and he had more questions, things, he got a little weird with stuff, but what kid doesn't? And it just sort of normalized. We have two really, really close friends, and we're going to be godparents for their children. And their kids, like, it's so normalized for them that there is nothing weird about it, mm-hmm. other than, like, relationships
I
just
think
being icky to begin with.
More and more families are raising, you're seeing these children come up, and you don't have to explain to them.
Right.
Like, we don't have to explain our relationship anymore. They kind of figure it out, or they just kind of, I don't know.
It's ridiculous that there's even...
It's becoming very normalized, yeah. even when it comes to young children.
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
There's no reason it shouldn't be. It's natural. It's not like we opted to do this. We didn't sign any dotted line. And it's kind of ridiculous that we even have to have these, like, coming out stories. And mm-hmm. it just shouldn't be a thing. Like, parents should just be excited to see their child dating. It shouldn't matter what the sex or gender of the person is. Or maybe your child has no sexual inclination, and that should be cool too. Like, there's just no reason. But over the years, under the Obama administration, we saw a lot of positive steps. And then Trump got elected, and...
then the world went to shit.
Despite him saying that the gays love him and will do better under
but
him...
But he did hold up that flag upside down that one time. That looked
rally.
Like someone had written LGBT on it with a Sharpie.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And he said that gays would have it better under him than under Hillary, which we've seen how that's turned out. And I actually have, like, several lists of things that have gone wrong under his administration, even the most recent being the Department of Defense's ban on transgender troops. There is an exemption given in January of this year to adoption and foster care agencies in South Carolina to allow religiously affiliated services to discriminate against current and aspiring LGBTQ caregivers, which makes zero sense whatsoever. There should be no reason. There are so many kids that need a home. We should not be discriminated against because your state has decided to use Catholic Charities as their provider for foster care. It shouldn't happen. There's been...
especially when they get funds. When they
right.
get, like,
they get
public
state
funding,
funds.
Like, you should not be able to put those restrictions yep. on an agency. If you want the public's, in my opinion, if you want public funding, then you need to help out the overall public.
Yep. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management completely got rid of guidance that helped federal agency managers understand ways to support their transgender federal workers and respect their rights. They took that clear and specific guidance, which, like, covered applicable law and regulations, and just supplemented it with, or not even supplemented, replaced it with vaguely worded guidance hostile to transgender workers. It didn't change the rights of federal workers, but it made a lot of issues come up. People were confused. People, like, started discriminating against employees.
And the transgender population has been the one, of course,
yep.
As always, they've been the one that's been most affected by Dipstick and, you know, past policies. They're always the one who are the most negatively impacted.
Yep. And those were just, like, the 2019 and the end of 2018. Like, there's just so much that's gone wrong, even...
like, it's impossible to go through this yeah. list and point out all the things. Even though, like...
license,
I mean, a lot of this, like, I've never seen before.
Justice Department released a sweeping license to discriminate, allowing federal agencies, government contractors, government grantees, and even private businesses to engage in illegal discrimination as long as they can cite religious reasons. That's the federal government.
Oh, this one. The Departments of Justice and Labor canceled quarterly conference calls with LGBT organizations.
Hi.
That, and those conference calls had been happening for years. It's like, what's the point of of we know what the point is. Right. We know what that is.
The Department of Housing and Urban Development removed links to 4 key resource documents from its website, which informed emergency shelters on best practices for serving transgender people facing homelessness.
This is I'm just like browsing this list because some of these I haven't seen and some of these I do know. But and you just of course moved it. Where's the one that I was just I just saw? This one in March 28th, 2017, the Census Bureau retracted a proposal. They had retracted a proposal to collect demographic information on LGBT people in the 2020 census. So in the 2020 census, they were going to collect information on the LGBTQ community, but then they decided not to do that.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate because that would give a lot of insight into our overall population and some of the things that we have to go up against.
And now instead of doing this, they want to include a mandatory question on whether you're a legal immigrant or not. Well, it's not asking if you're an immigrant, but if you're a it's not directly asking about immigration status, but it's
U.S.
asking,
citizen?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a citizenship question. Thank you. And they don't want to ask about LGBT people, but they want to see if you're a citizen or not.
But who's going to say, I'm not a citizen? I would lie.
I would too, but...
Because they'll beat down your door. By the way, guys, if you're not a citizen and you're listening to this when the 2020 census come around and they ask you if you are a citizen, you better say yes, because if not, they're going to pound down your door.
ICE will be visiting you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're legally in the States or not, they will be pounding on your door. It's just, there's no reason for it. It's going to mess up funding. It's going to take away so much. We're going to miss out on funding because now mm-hmm. we are going to know zero about the LGBT population in the mm-hmm. country.
And it's difficult enough and we know this firsthand from running the shelter and working with the kids and everything there in the shelter and working with the city, getting funding, working with the state government, national agencies trying to get funding for them. It's difficult to get funding for an LGBT organization. It's a challenge.
And then to make it so that you can't collect information, it makes no sense. Whether you like us or not, how does collecting information on an important minority population cause an issue? I'll never understand it. Just like I'll never understand this whole Black Lives Matter thing it's not Black Lives Matter, it's All Lives Matter. Like, no, it's not. We're pointing to a very important piece. Like, this doesn't harm you in any way, shape, or form.
Obviously, all lives matter. Obviously. But it's not obvious that all Black lives matter.
Exactly. Things that the awesome Trump administration has done has included kicking Americans off of Medicaid and food stamps. As we're seeing right now, there's a giant targeting of reproductive rights. They've put in things thanks to our education secretary, Betsy DeVos, saying that she would withdraw historic guidance on schools and university responsibilities.
Hey, but at least we get to learn some creationism.
Oh,
creationalism?
Creationism.
Creationism.
As you can tell, Kenny has never learned creationism.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, that was just from one source. Like,
I feel like every day, week, there's something new. Like, there's another attack on our community.
So the American Union for the Separation of Church and State actually has a really good article, too. And they start with what we started to talk about. While seeking the Republican nomination for president in 2016, Donald Trump told members of the LGBT community that he would be their champion. He said he'd be a real friend to LGBT Americans, thanked the LGBT community.
Did any gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgender people actually believe him?
People that are members of the Log Cabin Republican.
Okay, but those aren't real people.
Okay, not a good approach. He unfurled an upside-down rainbow flag at the campaign in Colorado just before the election, and it had LGBTs for Trump. Obviously, somebody in his campaign did that. Obviously, because none of us would say LGBTs for Trump. Come on. 2 years into his presidency, they go on to talk about how he's just fallen into the religious right's backing. They throw money at him. They throw their support behind him because he'll
do. And he's able to do this under like the like this religious freedom, this
crap,
this veil of religious freedom that the evangelicals, yeah, and, you know, a lot of the Christian community, they want.
And the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State even say that he's proving himself to be one of the worst presidents in modern memory when it comes to LGBTQ policies.
I think one of is probably debatable. I would go with the. Yeah, it's definitely not one of. And it's not just in regards to LGBT policies. Right. It's just the worst president in history. Yeah. Not even modern, in history.
And he's been trying to roll back so many things, giving license to discriminate against transgender people, against LGBT population in general. His administration even prepared a draft policy that would narrowly define gender as a biological condition based on genitalia at birth that cannot change. Thankfully, nothing ever happened with that, but it would have effectively wiped out civil rights for transgender people. How people believe that he's good for us, like, if you're voting for this man, you are blatantly voting against your friends and family that are LGBT. You're voting against their safety. There's no reason for it. The health department even took steps to dismantle initiatives for LGBT people. They halted or rolled back regulations that were supposed to protect workers and patients, removed LGBT-friendly language from documents, and reassigned the senior advisor dedicated to LGBT health. This is blatant attacks on the LGBT community that really hasn't gotten much coverage.
Mm-mm.
And this has been ongoing. This has started since he took office. Like we said, very shortly after his inauguration, they erased us from the White House's page. Like, this man does not care about any of us. There have been a bunch of reversals of Obama policies. A health affairs study found that many LGBT individuals have less access to care than heterosexuals. One in six LGBT individuals reported experiencing discrimination from doctors or at a clinic. And now it's becoming even more possible for people to say that they won't treat or work with LGBT individuals.
Right, and that's under the Religious
Freedom Act.
The Religious Freedom Act, which is insane to me. Like, how I could possibly go to a doctor and they could just be like, no,
yep,
I don't want to treat you.
Right as we were getting to the point where, like, doctor's offices and...
Did that actually go into effect?
Yes.
That is, like, in effect?
Yeah. Yep, it passed. The new leader of HHS, which I don't know if he's still in place, Alex Azar, he was expected to be better than Tom Price, but, I mean, come on. We're doomed no matter what because of this religious liberty law. Pence is probably the main force behind this.
No. Well, I mean, possibly. I'm going to say the main force behind this is Jerry Falwell.
Oh, well, I mean, he's the main force behind everything evil. But Pence did this first in Indiana when he was governor.
Oh, that's right.
And then he became vice president, so naturally it's going to be his pet.
Mm-hmm.
Just some of these quotes from his people, it's horrifying. We've taken steps backwards. So this is why pride is important. We don't want us to be forgotten. We don't want us to become second-class citizens.
Mm-hmm.
This new law that's supposedly for religious freedom is really just giving clearance to discriminate.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping that pride events speak out loud about these things. Like, yes, we are supposed to be celebrating community. We're supposed to be celebrating love. We're supposed to be supporting each other. But we need to remember the Stonewall riots were political in nature, and pride needs to continue to hold that torch of charging into things that are politically charged.
That's good. I like that. Yeah.
Like, we can't...
It is easy to get wrapped up in the celebrating aspect of pride, because it is so much fun.
It's a ton of fun, and it's colorful, and it's funny, and it's dramatic, but we need to remember that we aren't safe.
It started politically.
Yep.
And it should
we
go
need
on
to
that
remember
way.
It. Like, we did so well for 8 years. I think we got complacent. I think we got very comfortable because we were safe. There were more and more protections being added. We watched a president change his mind on marriage for LGBT mm-hmm. people. And we saw this evolve like right in front of us. And then we get this administration that steps back. And this can go on and on through various presidencies.
And here, like, actually, speaking of presidents, this is a sign of progress. Right now, we have a Democratic... we have Mayor Pete, South Bend, Indiana, is now running for... Well, he's vying for the Democratic nomination for presidency. And he's one of the front runners, and he's openly gay, and he's married, and that's a huge...
That's massive.
That's massive.
If he even wins the nomination, it's going to be such an emotional moment for so many people, mm-hmm. myself included. I'm definitely going to be emotional. This is something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. Like, we've watched people struggle just to get into politics. Never did I think we'd see a fire light behind an LGBT candidate. Granted, it's a white male again, but this is different. This is new. This is exciting. Kids will actually see representation of themselves.
Still, yes, he is a white male, but he's still a minority.
Right.
He is a minority.
Okay. He's got white privilege, but he does have issues because he's gay. Like, we aren't just one thing, and I'm kind of happy we aren't just one thing. This article is so long. just like scrolling through this article. I'll put this is a Politico article from last year as well. I'll put this up.
You guys some reading material.
It's so long. I didn't realize. I didn't read the entire thing. I read what I wanted to talk about. Didn't keep reading. It's massive. So we'll put these up. But honestly, the takeaway that I want is that Pride has historical roots. It's not just a time for parties and people wearing crazy costumes.
It is a time, but not just a time.
Like, there's reason why we still celebrate in these flamboyant ways. I mean, we watched drag queens take to the streets. Well, we didn't watch. We're not that old. But drag queens took to the street. Trans people took to the street. These people of color took to the street and started the fire that lit the gay civil rights movement. We need to remember that. We need to be thankful for that. And hopefully one day we'll see a good movie that doesn't whitewash that history. But this Pride, whether you're gay or straight, I hope you get out. I hope you get involved.
Bring your friends.
And teach them and remind people that this is political and we are still fighting. We aren't safe. Like, this administration is slowly chipping away our rights. So they might leave marriage intact, but that doesn't mean we're safe. My dog is rolling around the bed making noises. So apologies for that. But I hope that's the big takeaway. That's something that I want to instill. So, anything else?
Happy Pride, and we will see you all next week.
With sexuality and gender. And then I'm possibly Kenny, if he decides he wants to. We're going to be interviewed for another podcast run by two trans folks. And when those details are settled, I'll put them out on social media because their podcast is worth checking out. So I will put all the information up there. And once I know when we're going to do it, I'll put that up. And then we'll have them on our podcast to talk about their experiences as trans people. So.
And as always, like, subscribe, tweet, all that fun
yes.
stuff.
Please get us out, share. The more people listen, the more that we get money to improve the podcast. We're slowly building up cents at a time, so get people involved. Oh, new exciting thing. Anchor added a way for you on any platform to leave voice messages. So if you look at the podcast, there should be a way for you to leave a voice message no matter what platform you're on. So check it out. You don't just have to be on the website. check it out. Let us know what you, or not the website.
Have you actually looked at that yet to see how that works?
I'm going to play around with it so I can see, so I can better explain it. But check it out. You guys can actually leave messages for us. And if you say that you grant us permission to play it, we can actually put you in. If you have a question, we can answer the question. If you have a really nice comment, we'll play it. If you're being nasty, we'll play it and probably make fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. So check it out. And if you listen to us on iTunes, please, please, please rate us and leave a cool little comment about what you think of the show. And we will see you next time, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to The Rendezvous with Kenny and Lance. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheRendezvous, TheRendezvou, or check out our Twitter at TheRendezvous, or you can even email us at rendezvous@protonmail.com. rendezvou@protonmail.com. And even better, you can leave us a review on Facebook or even the podcasting app that you listen to us on. Better yet, do both. Join us each Friday as we explore a multitude of topics, issues, concerns, and controversies. See you next time.